See, we have almost everyone on, I think. Any other
Sorry.
weather? Go ahead.
Can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Hey, you know, you were talking about things happen in the nighttime and the dream time. And, you know, I totally think that is totally true. And for some reason, lately, I've been waking up every, you know, from 3 to 4 in the morning every day. It's like I can't even sleep during that time. But I have no idea what is happening during that time. And I didn't know if you had any information as to what is actually going on during that time, during the sleep time.
Okay, let's see. I think we have everyone here. Traditionally, that hour between 3 and 4 is when the masters, saints, and prophets meditate on the planet. And it's a rotating, well, they're, let's put it this way, they're meditating. That's that time frame. Actually, it's supposed to be like between 3:20 and 3:40-ish, depending on daylight savings time or not, where there's a portal that opens through each time zone to be able to receive really high frequency energy.
Oh.
And so that is taught in the Vedic tradition. And so that is something that I experience directly. And you know, as we get more and more attuned spiritually, our sleep patterns really change. I mean, really change a lot. And so I know that people get upset when they don't get their full night's sleep and they have to go to work. And you're on, if you're on a 8 to 5 or 7 to 11 switch shift or something, it's really difficult. But it's something to actually to expect, because instead of following artificial time and artificial energy, we start attuning to deeper cycles. And there's many layers in that. So if you've ever seen, have some of you seen the acupuncture clock, where every 2 hours a different acupuncture meridian is activated in a 24-hour cycle? Is anyone? So,
I've seen that. Yeah, I've seen
yeah.
that before. I'm
So,
familiar with that.
yeah, so you can look that up too, because sometimes the sleep cycles are interrupted depending on which meridian is active and what's happening with that organ system and the meridian. And so it's kind of good to just have that meridian 24-hour cycle chart kind of hanging up on your wall somewhere, or take a picture of it on your phone or something, because that can also give you an idea. It's something to look at, let's just say, if you're getting sleep interruptions during a repetitive time, like it keeps happening over and over and over at a time other than the 3 to 4 hour, it can mean that something is off in your energy field that's not jiving, or energy's trying to flow through you at that time and there's something challenging it. And so that's another layer of the sleep stuff that's going on. So it gets more complicated the more sensitive you get, actually. Who was going to ask a question?
Oh, I was just going to say, it's Betsy. Hi.
Hi.
I was also told that between 3 and 5 is lung meridian time, and that controls grief. So often, I mean, grief sits in the lung meridian. So often, if you've got something you're grieving, that's when you're going to be waking up.
And that makes sense. That is associated with the long meridian. So you can see how there's different emotions and different energetic flows that go with each meridian. Okay. So for each person, and then just because the masters are meditating on the planet and like And this can include the masters that are hidden high up in the mountains, you know, actual physical beings, as well as non-physical beings. And just because they're meditating and showering the planet 24 hours a day with high frequency energy doesn't mean that we take it in easily if we're not attuned, right? So it can, if we're preoccupied and we're not sitting in our loincloths, cross-legged, doing nothing except meditating, then those energies that are coming in can actually create interference patterns and create some disruptions in our psyche. So it's quite a complicated thing here. I notice that, let's say, when I'm on vacation and I've cooled out and everything, that when my being, or I'm on retreat, you know, my being can be attuned to those frequencies much easier. But when you're in the middle of everyday life and doing everything that's not attuned to the natural cycles. And then we have all the cycles of the sun and moon that contribute, and all the planets astrologically. So it's a multi-layered thing going on here with sleep, not to mention all the stress and tension. So, hey, did that answer your question, John?
Well, I really didn't think it was going to be a specific answer. So, yes, it was, you know, there's so much going on that, I feel it as a little buzzing inside my head, right? It's not in my ears, it's inside my head. And it just feels like there's this, you know, little constant buzzing going on for that hour, you know? Yeah, and it's interesting.
Yeah, so are you able to relax into it?
It's I usually have to get up. I can't sleep, but I just go into the living room and you know, recline on my couch and finally I fall asleep. But you know, that for that hour it feels like I'm awake.
So. Uh-huh. Oh, good. Okay. I can add one more complicating factor to that too. that whoever you may be sleeping with, their cycles could be going off too and affecting you, anyone, you know. So it's really interesting when you start watching what happens energetically with people who sleep together and how commingled the energies become. So it's pretty complex. But as long as you can relax into it, then that's wonderful. And then hopefully you can just drift off again and have some refreshing sleep. So, okay. Anything else on anyone's mind right now? I'm just trying to see who's got a lot of noise on the line tonight. Oh, that helped a little. Okay. Are some people starting to notice a release or a lightening of their energy, like starting to shed stuff at all?
Yes.
Who said that so mysteriously?
I said that, Lisa. That's funny. I didn't mean to say it mysteriously, but yes, it's been really a lovely week. It's been very wonderful. Thanks for asking.
Okay. Anyone else starting to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think so.
This is Carla. Uh-huh. Yeah. And I could actually, it was like my whole head just went bright a couple of times, and I got light. I felt lighter in my body. So that was a lovely, lovely experience.
Okay.
Happened a few times this week. Yeah.
Okay. So anyone else? Okay. So there's a piece of information that I want to deliver, let's say, because as I meditate for the class, I was shown very specifically to share this piece of information, and this really can make a big difference. So when we talk about shedding the weight or the heaviness of our being, there is a whole layer of this that has to do with the energetic planetary environment, the cycle of the earth energy that we're in. So you would not, let me put it this way. We are just having passed through a the densest, darkest period in the 26,000 year cycle that the earth goes through. We really, you know, in the last couple thousand years have gone through the darkest part, and we're rising out of that now. So we truly are going through a planetary consciousness shift, and that's very real. And it means that we only know ourselves from a really dark place. It's like when you're in a room with very little light, you can't even see yourself. And all we know of ourselves, we are seeing through that very dim, dim light. So the heaviness, the self-criticalness, the striving, the competition, the violence, the aggressiveness, this is all from this backdrop of this darker state that the planetary energy has been in. And then on top of that, because of the darkness, each person takes it on personally, as if it's their personal problem. And they cannot fix it. I'm so wrong. I'm so bad. I'm so unable to fix myself. I'm unable to rise above. I'm unable to do this. I'm unable to do that. All of that is a reflection of the background energy that we have been in. And I want you to take that in, because it's not you personally. It's not you individually. We've all been in this very, very dark stage. And so we try to figure out how they built the pyramids, how they built Toxie Woman, how they built this and that with these, you know, multi-ton rocks. How did they move them on logs, carrying them up and down the mountains and across from the quarry to the place? And it was 15 miles of up and down the Andes Mountains to move one 10-ton piece of rock. How did they do it? So we keep trying to imagine things in the only way we know how to do things. We can't even imagine what it would be like to know ourselves from a lighter background, a lighter consciousness environment. And so for the last couple thousand years, the spiritual schools have had, you know, a process where, you know, certain beings become enlightened and then they're able to, and they're usually the a being that represents the 2,000-year cycle that we're in, and they're able to make an impact on lightening that time. But there's only been special beings that have been able to carry that consciousness. And it's because it's been 10,000 years of darkness, really. And we are now shifting. And so the old school systems are fracturing. And because of the light background that we're moving through, it's kind of a wave of light coming in and a wave of darkness receding, which makes for a very choppy sea. We're in a place where we can't even conceive of what's coming for us, how we'll be able to evolve and be, because we're coming out of a dark place and can't even imagine the lighter place. The only way we imagine it is from a historical point of view, through the eyes of old history. Are you following me on this?
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. It certainly explains the difficulty of his journey.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I mean, it's like a miracle we are all here together.
It is. It's true. You're right. And so, oh, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, this is Sally. I've been watching a little bit of Greg Braden recently talking about holograms and trying to get that idea. And the part of the fear around that for me, and I'm finally getting to it, is part old paradigm, because I keep on thinking that through our competitive system that we've been in and all of the, especially in the Western world, you know, that's how we were raised in a sense, and to, you know, push and to keep things for ourselves and this kind of thing. Not everyone, of course, but the system, mm-hmm. capitalism in general. When I feel like people are going to be able to access and have such abilities to put in something that can spread like a wildfire sort of through a holographic system, I am afraid, because I feel like now I'm going to have to either defend myself from something, or the wrong people will get that ability and kind of make things worse for people. You know, that's part of the fear that I'm feeling. And that's because of old paradigm, from what it seems they're saying.
Mm-hmm. Yes. So what you're missing there is you're thinking, you have a concept of the holographic reality, but you don't have the experience of the holographic reality. When you're in the holographic reality, you're in the wholeness. And so your experience, a wildfire doesn't go through every, you know, like an evil thread doesn't go through everything. You're in a different state of consciousness. And so there's no polarity.
Yes.
And so, yeah. So hard to talk about this stuff from old consciousness, mm-hmm. when you're talking about new, but the difference is experiencing it versus thinking it. So I want you to take a moment to let yourself off the hook for how hard you've worked, how hard it is to kind of rise above all the heaviness each day. Well, I'll mute you, and then if you want to come back, you can. Okay. So I want you to sense this almost sigh of relief from your individual struggling self. That, you know, it's in the context of our lives has been against a dark background, has been in darkness. And our entire civilization is an expression of a very low frequency experience. And that is actually shifting now. And it's going to take another 1,000 years for it to shift. Just letting the energy start to come in now. So the most optimal position we can take is turning towards the light and saying, I don't want to contaminate my experience by looking through the lens of my history, but I have no idea what's coming. Which brings you into a state of presence and then into wholeness, which then completely shifts your consciousness. And part of the shift, as I've said before, is that each person now has access to the whole. Each one of us embedded in our DNA, in our body, in every cell, is a holy book, is a sacred site. And every wisdom that there ever was is encoded in our being. But we've been locked out of it. We have not been able to get to it. And we're starting to unlock that now. I'm just going to pause because the energy is starting to come in. Questions right now? Anything about this? Comments?
Sarah, I have a question.
Uh-huh.
So the Kundalini energy, is that the light coming in, or is it the force that allows the light to come in, or how do we use that Kundalini energy how do we use the Kundalini energy?
Okay, it's a good question. Okay, so the first layer that we're working with right now is the cosmic shift that's happening for the planet. Okay, the planet has moved into a new place in the galaxy. We're receiving lots of energy spectrums that have not even been discovered yet, that we cannot perceive yet, and we're on the verge of learning about. So that's the bigger picture. Then, when I talk about each one of us being a holy book, where all the wisdom that ever was and will be is in our being, it is sitting in the Kundalini. That is that energy. It is the infinite wisdom that's been placed in our energy system for us to access. And the way we've been accessing it in the teachings through this class is through our connection with Mother Earth and recycling the energy with Mother Earth, which naturally raises the Kundalini and starts it circulating through our system. So it's not a shock. And so it integrates with us, and we gently, gently keep waking up, keep absorbing that wisdom. It's literally circulating in our being all the time. But if we can't, so just take a look at this, and I've said this before. Our culture has been so dark that any thought of anything about the human body below the waist is shameful, right? Right? That's like been the common vernacular. It's like, don't you dare think about anything below the waist, you know, or even below the neck, because that's a sin. And yet, the Kundalini is sitting in our root chakra. So in that darkness, it has prevented us from exploring even our energy field at the root chakra to discover that potency and wisdom and be able to skillfully access it. Did that make sense, John?
Oh yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, if you wanted to block somebody from accessing that energy, that would be an amazing tool, right? To tell them that's shame, that's guilt, that's, you can't even look there, right?
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so really, it's a brilliant strategy.
It's brilliant. Yes. Yes.
If you wanted to play on that side, that's a brilliant, brilliant strategy. But it's amazing how if you can relieve or release the guilt and shame out of those body parts, it's amazing how the energy can then flow.
Right, right. And so, yes, I mean, and so it's brilliant, and it's the function of darkness. And I'm not saying darkness in the sense of evil. I'm saying darkness in the sense of a shaded consciousness, you know, a consciousness that cannot reach the light. And so the fact that we're not born taught and immediately began training on how to access our universal wisdom within the Kundalini is like ridiculous. That's where it leaves us abandoned and ignorant and afraid and anxious and all the things that we think are typical of a human being. Like that's what we consider normal human being experience. And in the context that I'm speaking, that's not normal human being experience. That is the experience of a human being in a dark age. So I want you to hear the difference. Can you, most of you understand that? Mm-hmm. Anyone having trouble with this? Okay, good. Okay. So let's pause for a moment. Let's have you feel your seat and feet and breathe. Let yourself be kind and compassionate with yourself. Take yourself off the hook for being a failure in any way. And see if you can muster a little self-compassion. Were some of you able to be a little kinder with yourself?
Getting there.
Mm-hmm. Just a gentle reminder took me right back to kind.
Good.
With myself.
So this is an idea that I would like you to play with this week. Play with it in the form of, this is how I'm feeling now, and this is because I'm in a darkened state of consciousness, and that's the common state of, you know, the air I'm breathing and the thoughts I'm thinking. And I'm just going to relax and let that kind of shed off me, like I'm dropping a huge fur coat that weighs like 100 pounds. And I'm just going to let my arms down and let it fall off me. And then I'm going to wonder, what might my thought be if I was in a lighter consciousness world? Now remember, we started out with the thought of what is the weight of a thought? And that changes according to the heaviness of the world planetary consciousness we're in. Like going to a different planet where the gravity is different. And what natural thoughts might bubble out of you in a lighter context? Now, one simple example of that is when you go on vacation. And after a week in a nice vacation, a true vacation, you find it takes about a week to let go of the world and start enjoying yourself. And you say, oh yeah, I remember I used to have fun. I used to giggle. I used to enjoy. I wasn't weighted down by everything from work. Ah, it feels so good to come back to me. You know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
And that's a parallel experience to our shift from this darker wave to a lighter wave. And since we're in the middle of it, we haven't reached the shore, we have to have a way of riding the wave so that we don't go insane with this transition. And I'm suggesting that you wonder what that lighter thought might be. Just become curious about it. And see if your body, your being will allow you to have a lighter thought. Given the context, there can be some resistance to that. But if we have the total picture here, and you can say to yourself, this is where I was, this is the transitional time, what might it be if I can ride this light wave instead of the dark wave? And what might that feel like? What's happening for you? Is anyone noticing a difference coming into their being?
Yes. This is Penny. It's the softness of the lighter thought. The embrace of the lighter thought, the gentleness of the lighter thought.
So instead of a grumble, it can turn into something a little more pleasant. I mean, and that's the level we're working at here. We're like trying to get out of the grumbles, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we're honest with ourselves, there's a lot of grumbling going on right now. And just to get out of the grumbles in order to have some serenity in your being, we have to have a strategy to shift that, be able to recognize it, and then allow something new to come in. Okay. So let's go into our meditation now. Does anyone have anything they'd like to say before we go into the meditation? Okay.
Sarah, can I say one thing?
Sure.
Yeah. It's I don't know. I always bring it back to the Weather Channel. you know, I remember years ago I would have the Weather Channel on in the background just for noise in the apartment, you know.
Uh-huh.
And now I don't know if anybody ever watches the Weather Channel now, but if you look at their headlines, it's, you know, the 12 worst disasters of all time, you know, SOS, would you survive, you know, and it's, they do 24-hour broadcasts of a hurricane, right, to show you how powerful and fearful Mother Nature is, right?
Oh.
And to me, it's just, you know, to me, I can see that somebody, some organization took it over, right, and is just trying to pump fear into the collective consciousness. So if we can realize that, you know, this is the safest time in human history, this is the wealthiest time in human history, we are the healthiest we've ever been in human history, but we don't know it because the collective is being forced into all this fear and hatred and anxiety and otherness. And so I think, to me, I just think of the Weather Channel and say, okay, I'm going to let that go, right? That's not real. That is fear being pumped into the collective consciousness, and I'm not going to be a part of that. And it was a very, you know, I don't know, uplifting experience for me to be just say, oh, I'm going to notice it, I'm going to watch it, I'm going to look at it, or I'm going to notice it, but I'm not going to pay any attention to it. And that seemed to, you know, you're always able to do that, right? Just witness it, but don't participate in it, and don't give any energy to it.
Yeah, and it's so funny that you bring up the Weather Channel, because I think of that as the most pathetic effort to dramatize, to like attract viewers, because we have to make this look so exciting, so dramatic, and the Weather Channel, you know, like, really?
Yeah. They took the most innocuous thing, right? The most benign, pleasant thing.
I mean,
I remember they used to show beautiful pictures of every little town and city, right?
Right.
Or blizzards and hurricanes and tornadoes, you know?
I know.
So to me, that wasn't even a drive for viewership,
right? Right.
That is really an intentional, somebody is operating on intention there of pumping fear into the collective.
So. Right, I know, and it seems to be the common denominator.
Right.
I mean, I can't even find a show on TV that's not based on fear and that kind of drama stuff. I go back to the old sitcoms, just for fun, you know, little simple laughs.
Yeah.
It's pretty heavy duty. So that's the dark wave, okay? We do have the light wave, and you've all been experiencing that through the meditations, and you know that your being is participating in a lighter frequency. It's just that we're in the middle of this transition. So it's easy to be dragged down by the undertow. We're staying with the weather, okay?
Right.
Right. It's easy to be dragged down by the undertow, and you have to remember that there's two waves going on. And one is light and one is dark. One's receding like those undertows that take you out and drown you. I forgot what they're called.
Rip currents.
Riptide?
Riptide,
yeah. Yeah, and then the light coming in. And we're living right at the junction of that. And so conceptually, I just want you to remember that. And I want you to remember every time that you're feeling not great, whether it's physically, emotionally, mentally, that somehow the context of the darkness has you. And it's not you personally. It's like you think that, you know, if you ate perfectly and exercised perfectly and did everything perfectly, you'd be happy and perfect and all that. And it just doesn't work like that. It's not that individual. And we have to accept that we're moving through this in a huge group consciousness. It's not just individual consciousness. And we are linked together. And there is a momentum growing for the lighter consciousness. It's just not as visible. But every time you think of yourself as having to do it by yourself, then you've sunk into the dark consciousness, into the darker wave. Mm-hmm. And so I want you to keep that in mind and really apply that for yourself so that you don't spiral down into that self-loathing or feeling helpless or hopeless. Because when you go there, then you're just swept out to sea.
Another thing I noticed about the lighter thought is the absence of tension.
Mm-hmm.
And that shift to lightness was just astounding to me. It speaks to what John said in the Weather Channel and everything else. It's just the lighter thought is the absence of tension. And it can't be manipulated by outside thoughts.
Oh, there you go. You just answered Sally's question about the holographic effect. It can't be influenced. So we're on the verge of this consciousness where lighter, brighter thoughts and feelings are going to start to bubble up and emerge from us. And it's still in that transitional space, and there may not be enough infrastructure to just hold it all the time, but you're building it. And we're moving along as a planetary consciousness. And in our small pockets of light work that we're all doing. And let me ask you this. Did anyone have enough fall away in the last couple of weeks that you actually saw yourself differently? Like knew yourself in a different way?
I had an experience, Sarah,
that
was spoke to what you've just talked about. Now, the image I had, it's clearer to me now. I felt the weight of the thoughts, and I call them roles, I think, in the last one, just the weight of that. And it was like I was in a box. This is the vision. And then it turned into like a medical bag. You know how medical, the old medical bags would open up from the center? And, okay. I was seeing layers of myself coming off. And this medical bag opened up then. And my new self was coming out. And I felt very insecure about that. And I didn't embrace that. But hearing you speak and listening to what people are sharing, that is the experience I had of shedding and then finding myself, a new self. And now I could sit in that. The light of that.
Wonderful.
Because I'm confident, I guess that's the word. I hope that's clear.
Yes. When this darkness starts to shed, we see ourselves more in a spiritual light, more as an active keeper of the light, an active bringer of the light, an active participant of the rising of consciousness, in not in an egoic way, but the definition of our being becomes so much brighter and not limited by everything that we've been squeezed into in the past. And so that's what I mean, like the whole, can you feel now just like the whole history of your life and how all of that has just kind of solidified around you, and we want that to be cracking and fracturing now. And that's the weight of the being that we are shedding now. The whole...
That was the image.
The whole history.
Wow.
And in other times, we would not be able to get to the point where that fractures. We would have lived an entire lifetime encased in that until we died. That's the difference between the time we're living now and what was just on the planet 25 years ago. That wasn't possible in the old paradigm, except for a few beings. Now, everyone is going to be going through the shedding of the whole history of each being, and all the confining, rigid thoughts that collected and sclerosed around our being. And once you get past that, once you see it, you go, was my whole life just like a whole string of negatives? You know, like, how could that be? Why would I have picked all the negatives to harden around me instead of all the positives? Did that compute?
Yes.
Did I lose the rest of you with that?
Not in the least.
No.
Yeah, not at all.
Okay.
have a question, Sarah, if I may.
Uh-huh.
So when you're talking about the like fracturing of our dark personal history, I was feeling a sense of resistance to that, like a kind of loyalty to that history.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, like it didn't feel authentic to try to like, I don't know, rise above it or walk away from it. But when you mention that maybe it's more of like a preference or there's been a habit of seeing the dark and not the light, that kind of gives me a different perspective on it, where I'm integrating the positive aspects of my history into, you know, that well of my past experiences, rather than just trying to like destroy the history itself.
Well said, Christian. Well said. And the fact that how we collected that stuff around us is a function of the darkness that we've been in. It's not just each one of us. We have our own version of it. We think we take responsibility. We have to take responsibility for it. And we do, but we have to understand the context. That was the most important teaching that's supposed to come through tonight, of understanding that the thoughts you're thinking are the result of the climate, back to weather, that we're in. So if we're in a darker age, and which really has been since the last ice age, we're going to collect darkness. But like I said, this is the first time in thousands of years where every single person on the planet has the possibility of having that marbleized, hardened darkness crack and fracture and fall away. That is probably why you chose to incarnate now, is to experience this shift, this particular shift, at least one of them, because it's a very unique experience. And the importance of a group working together in consciousness is the most wonderful modality we have. Okay, anything else before we go into a bit of meditation?
This is Ananda.
Uh-huh.
I remember asking this Tibetan Lama at one point, Rinpoche, why would anyone choose, not to go towards bliss and unity? Why would anyone not go in that direction? And he said, well, what is familiar to people is very comfortable or comforting. And the next time I sort of slid into a depressive episode, I realized, wow, it felt like I was pulling this old, tattered, fuzzy blanket around me, and it was, it might be old and torn and even a little smelly, but it was my blankie, and it was so odd to realize that, wow, this depression actually, there was a definite enjoyment that went along with this sliding into what felt familiar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's that inertia of the darkness. Okay, thank you. So as we go into our sacred circle and the energy here, just know that the energy that we're bringing in is helping to break up that density and helping us each find the lighter wave instead of the darker wave. And we're in the middle of it. We don't know. All we can do is be open to something that is not burdened by our history. Remember that. You want to try to be open to something that is just beyond everything that is historical. Every old thought, every old feeling, every old sensation, as best as you can. And say to yourself, what could be the new thought here? When an old thought, that comfortable blankie comes over, and say, what could be the new thought? I just did that the other day. I wasn't feeling good, and I laid down. I said, oh, I really, really don't want to spend the day lying down here. What is a new way I can approach this? What's a new thought, a new feeling? And let me be open to that so that I can feel better right now. And just that thought helped me open to new flows of energy, new light coming in, and I was able to kind of pass that through in a half hour. So it's actually a skillful technique to be wondering, what could be the new thought? What could be the new light thought? What could be a thought that doesn't weigh a ton?
Sorry, I had this awesome light thought in one of my last meditations, and it was that you are loved beyond all measure.
Mm.
And that's, you know, that's for everybody, but you are loved beyond all measure. And that's hard to be angry or upset or depressed with that thought.
I know. And really, that is the key to everything, is knowing and feeling that love. And even imagining a world where that is all pervading. And that's like the heaven that we seek and believe exists. And actually it's a consciousness that, planetary consciousness that exists on this planet at various epochs. By the way, if you have Gaia, if you have a subscription to Gaia, they just put a new Freddie Silva film up called The Missing Gods. And it's really he's just a wonderful storyteller, kind of, and it's not stories, but he researches. But the way he tells a story is just, I find, so pleasant. But he examined all the literature written in stone, inscribed in stone and papyrus, of all the stories of the gods that came after the flood to reignite the light in humanity. And it's a really, really beautifully done hour-long film. And so if you have Gaia, it's on there for free. I think you could get it online and maybe rent it for $4.99 or something like that, if you're not a subscriber to Gaia. But it's really a beautiful illustration of how, like I've said before, you know, humanity's history goes back millions of years. We didn't just like stop and run into a wall 6,000 years ago and wonder where we came from. We just... There's been a continuation of a wisdom tradition that connects heaven and earth, the stars, the cosmos, and different forms of humanity in so many, many cycles. of being and so many dimensions of beings. And he helps in this film to get beyond the biblical story that's been embedded in us. I mean, it's just always bothered me to like get to the point thinking like almost 6,000 years ago, boom, we were created, you know, that there's a whole history for us to understand and awaken the wisdom of that. We're each carrying all that wisdom in us. We are really the record of all wisdom is in that Kundalini. And it's actually in all the cells and DNA. And learning how to wake that up so that you can read it. So you can read the text from within your being of the holy story is what this is about. And even the end-all be-all of becoming enlightened or even one with the divine, that is even a limited thought now. That there's even more beyond that. That it's hard to say that there's more beyond the one, but there is. It keeps going. And that the oneness that has been written about in all of our scriptures actually is one dimension, is like a certain expanded dimension of consciousness, and then there's more. So it's interesting to start opening up to that within yourself. And with that, anything more to say? We're going to do a little more meditation.
Sarah, is that place within us that has that all-encompassing information, is that the Holy of Holies that is referenced, that we are so complete with everything, that that is the Holy of Holies within us?
It is, and there's more.
Okay. All right.
I know it sounds funny to say that. I know it sounds ridiculous to say that, but there is. Because there's something embedded in the spiritual teachings that limits it to that. That all we can imagine, kind of, again, the history is burdening or skewing how we think of something or feel something. There's so much more beyond. So I'm just trying to tease open this part of our being and our brains to start entertaining a lighter way of being. Okay, so if you can all go on mute, that would be great. So our conversation has gathered the light. The circle is already formed, and the central column, the alignment, the axis of the group connecting heaven and earth has already formed. But we'll take a moment to come back to our body, come back to relaxing the body, relaxing the mind. Dropping in, feeling our feet connected to the earth. Allowing our tailbone to relax and settle back to a natural center. And when the mind relaxes, when the body relaxes. You know, the body and emotions are really the one and the same. And so whatever the emotions are doing, it is mirrored in the body, and whatever the body's doing is mirrored in the emotions. They're chemically the same. And so the relaxation is the most important hump to get over when we want to settle in and let the mind soften and relax, and the muscles softening and relaxing. And then instead of drifting off to sleep or just kind of wandering, we want to skillfully start sensing the energy that we're connected to with the earth. And we'll greet the spirit of the land and the nature spirits. Mother Earth, the spirit of the water, the spirit of the fire, spirit of the air, and the spirit of the all-pervading ether. And instead of thinking of the ether as a void or a vacuum, we now know it is fullness of life, infinite fullness of life. And we start subtly aligning with the cycles of the natural world and of the subtle worlds. And as we do this, we start to come back into our wholeness. And every time we reinforce our wholeness, another chip fractures off of that hardened block. And what does the wholeness feel like? Well, in one sense, you might feel a sphere, like you're sitting in a sphere. And you're suspended in that sphere, dissolving in that sphere, and what was once a line or a polarity turns into wholeness. Nothing's black and white. Nothing's yes and no. We start turning into what our orb consciousness, our sphere consciousness. And within that sphere is the whole universe. And the ability of everything to be alive, digesting, growing, moving through the cycles of life in an orderly way. It's just like a cell, you know, as the microcosm knows how to take in nourishment, digest it, and excrete it. Our consciousness has that same spherical shape as a cell wall and has all the mitochondria and all the energy generating and energy digesting intelligence that a cell has and a cosmos has. And when we engage in this process of wholeness, we start to sink into a consciousness that's completely different. We slip through that rabbit hole. And this is when you want to stop listening to me and feel yourself. We slip through that rabbit hole through the portal still feeling it, that we know we can feel our body, you can feel your knee, your feet, and yet at the same time you can feel that whole, holy consciousness, not as separate, but as enveloped within each other in a fluid way. And this is, you know, the quantum science, where if you start watching your consciousness, it starts hardening into a point. And if you stop watching it and become it, you become the wave. And the wave is the more original source. And feel the energy flowing through your hands. At the same time that you sense yourself as a spherical being, sense your heart and that light radiating from your heart at the same time that you sense yourself as a spherical being. And in the silence, we slip into a deeper state. Where the circle becomes the sphere. And an enormous power congeals, the power to create life. It's not verbal. And in that creation energy, is the capacity to renew, to create, to shed. And it's not bursting through like a rocket ship. It's organically emerging. And invite just very gently this creative energy directed gently towards an area of your mind or emotions or body that could use a little extra. for most people on the planet right now, the place that needs extra energy is the digestive process. So much of what is going on is undigestible in the world. And so let's gently direct, invite that powerful energy into the abdomen, to the digestive organs. Invite it and step back and allow. And as those organs are supplied with energy, you might notice that the tension and the agitation starts to die down and quiet down. And then as the mind and the body quiet down, you're able to notice the great light of being. It's more like a dawning than a thinking. Very good. So I'll leave you to continue this if you like, or to rest, go to sleep, enjoy, and we'll meet next week. Blessings to everyone. Good night.